Hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of the Kenyan Wall Street Podcast. My name is Prince Muragori. I am the resident economist at the Kenyan Wall Street, and I'll be your host. In today's episode, I'm very happy indeed, that I am joined by another economist, and in fact, a very seasoned and accomplished economist. And to top it all, she's a woman. And this is particularly amazing because the field of econ happens to be one of the fields with very few women compared to most other humanities and social sciences. So folks, stay tuned because today is a good day to be listening to the Kenyan Wall Street podcast. And I know you must be wondering who I have in the show today. So let me introduce our guest. And I won't give you her name just yet. I want to give some background information about her. And then I'll give you her name at the very end, if you won't have guessed it already. So first things first, our guest studied at the University of Fribourg in Switzerland, or as I think they pronounce it, Université de Fribourg. I think I had seen that on the internet. I don't know if I did it right. So that's where she studied. And she graduated with a master's in econometrics and a PhD in quantitative economics. Oh yes, a solid education is the foundation of a solid economist. So education check. So she spent a few years in the same university working and teaching statistics until about 2006, after which she moved to work at Credit Suisse Management in Zurich as a fixed income portfolio engineer for 2 years. So from economist to engineer. Wow. Let's go on. She then returned to Rwanda. So I've given you the first hint. She's Rwandan or Rwandese, or as we say here in East Africa, Banyarwanda. So keep listening for more hints. I'll give them to you in just a moment. She came back to Rwanda in 2009 and was appointed as the senior advisor to the Director General of the National Institute of Statistics in Rwanda. And a year later, she became the Director General. Oh yes, she was moving with speed. And it gets even better. You see, after serving as the Director General for about 3 years until 2012, she moved to the office of the President in Rwanda, where she served as the Head of Strategy and Policy, as well as the Chief Economist. Presidential, that's what we call it, guys. Presidential. And so she was at the office of the President for some 3 years, after which she moved to her current and most recent role, which is the Chief Executive Officer, CEO, of the Bank of Kigali. And let me mention that the Bank of Kigali is the largest commercial bank in Rwanda by total assets. Wow. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have given you many hints, and as many of you may have guessed it already, our guest for today is none other than Dr. Diane Karusisi. Dr. Diane, welcome to the Kenyan Wall Street Podcast. We are absolutely delighted to have you with us today. So let's get to it. Dr. Diane, you will be one of the African women in finance participating in this year's edition of the Africa Regional E-Conference for Leading Women in Banking and Finance, organized by the Kenya Bankers Association. And it's going to be happening online, as with most conferences in 2020, on the 15th and 16th of October. And we're very excited for this upcoming event. And the theme is Breaking Barriers and Redefining Leadership in Africa. So, Dr. Diane, in anticipation for this great conference, which celebrates and highlights the contribution of women in the field of econ, finance, I have three short questions for you today. Are you ready?
I am ready, Prince.
Okay. So the first question, Dr. Diane, is, being a woman who has risen through various industry ranks to currently heading the largest commercial bank in Rwanda as the CEO, you know, how would you advise women, and particularly the upcoming young ladies in this male-dominated economics and finance space, how can they adequately position themselves and their careers in order to be in a position to qualify for top executive roles in leading financial institutions as you have done yourself?
Thank you, Prince, for this question. I think maybe as you know, and all the people who are listening to us today know, in Rwanda, there's been real progress on gender diversity in the past few years. Bank of Kigali is not the only bank led by a woman. We have four banks in Rwanda that are led by women. The largest telco in Rwanda is also led by a woman. So this shows that both in the public sector and private sector, you know, people see value in having more women in leadership positions. So let me come now to some pieces of advice I want to offer today.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'll start with the women in leadership, myself and all my fellow women in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I think we have a responsibility to demonstrate and encourage a culture that fosters gender inclusion in our workspace and our workplaces. So it's very important for us. It's actually a responsibility and a duty to empower the next generation of women leaders, to empower young women who aspire to be like us, to be real role models for them. So this is very important, and that's why my advice will first go to women in leadership, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because today you'll see women in top positions, but when you go to middle management level, we'll see that women continue to be underrepresented. So it's important that us leaders address this and empower women to be the next generation of leaders. Now, for young ladies, I think I'll just give the advice that I wish someone had given me, or I wish I could give myself if I were to go some few years back, is you know, first of all, believe and believe in yourself. And the other thing that maybe many women, including myself, make as a mistake is never assume that good work will speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
You will need to speak up. You'll need to show that you have good points. You will need to go out there and to get the praise that you deserve, because many women tend to be shy in the workplace, even when they have good ideas, good contribution. They feel shy to share this good contribution. So my only advice to these young ladies, believe in yourself, speak out, be there, look out for other women that are in your workplace, and try to work together and to achieve your ambitions and grow in leadership positions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very, very well said. I like one thing that you have mentioned, which is that good work might not always speak for itself. You have to actually take initiative and move yourself and position yourself and make yourself known and heard. So moving on to something that you have mentioned about Rwanda, that, you know, Rwanda enjoys representation not only in the corporate space, but also in the public space, in the public sector. We know that since 2003, Rwanda has consistently had the highest female representation proportionally of female parliamentarians in the world, which is, I think, about over 60% in the lower house. In your opinion, what is the biggest unique advantage created by, you know, having higher female representation, and what can other African countries do to achieve this too? Because so many of them lag behind in terms of that particular statistic.
Yeah, thank you for the question. You know, it is known all over that Rwanda has had leadership that believes in the contribution of women in transforming the society. That's why I think, you know, they've even put it in the constitution that we need to have a certain percentage of women in certain roles in government.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows that people really believe that women can have a critical position in changing our society for the better. So I think what women add, in this case, mainly in parliament, is to, you know, add a new dimension to the policy agenda that will focus more on the well-being of people. I think that's important. We've seen, you know, I've been seeing it in the news that countries that have better managed the COVID-19 crisis are those that are led by women, like New Zealand, I think Germany, etc. So women, I think they add something that is important to the policy agenda, the focus on the well-being of people, which is very important. So they want all policy actions to have an impact on the well-being of people. So this is important. Now, I don't know if in terms of policy outcomes, there's a real difference. So this is something that, you know, that some research needs to be done there. But what I believe for us in Rwanda is the single biggest advantage is that having that many women in parliament, but also in all level of governments, local government, government, you know, everywhere. I think it's the biggest contribution to our society is demystifying female leadership for us and for the next generation of our people, showing that it's normal to have a woman as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Today, in my the place I live, we have female leaders. It has become something very normal to have women as leaders in our society, and this is important because we become role models for, you know, our daughters, for the next generation, to show that, you know, women also can have an important contribution to the society. And not only in Rwanda, I think we're also showing the rest of the world and the rest of the continent that having women in these leadership positions is actually contributing to the development and the transformation of societies. And maybe it's not random if Rwanda has transformed in the past at least 20 years in terms of the development agenda. We've seen a lot of progress in education, in health outcomes. So maybe it's not just random, you know, having all these women in leadership and seeing the development outcomes. I think it's also inspiring not only the next generation of Rwandan leaders, but also more people in the region and on the continent.
Yes, absolutely. I agree that it helps to demystify and normalize this. And as an African continent, we're in a stage where we do need to figure out good policies that work for us with our unique situations, and definitely having higher participation of female, having higher female participation in the labor force in various industries definitely bridges that gap. Now, moving on to my final question, Dr. Karusisi, is, you know, in the upcoming Leading Women in Finance e-conference, you will be one of the panelists, and I think the topic you will be discussing is entitled Peak Performance in Turbulent Times: How to Effectively Respond to Headwinds in a Dynamic Industry Environment. So in a nutshell, what are some of the things that our audience should look forward to in your discussion?
Thank you. I think this is a very topical and relevant subject in these times.
Mm-hmm.
What we've tried at Bank of Kigali to focus on is, again, to put the priorities first, which is extremely important, because sometimes every leader will recognize this. Priorities are too many, and when your time is scattered, then it's really difficult to focus. So what we've done and what we're trying to do is to put a priority first, and when I mean priority is the well-being of our staff and our clients, and the well-being of our community in general. So this has been, I think, the most important thing as we weather through this crisis, to show our staff, to show our clients that we are there for them, we are there to support them through these tough times. I think that's something that will remain in 1 year, in 2 years, when people look back and then people want to know that this organization, I was working there and I felt heard, I felt considered, I felt valued.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same for clients. They really need to see that Bank of Kigali is supporting them through these tough times. So this is our first priority, putting the well-being of our communities first. So then I think what is also very important during this crisis is to watch the trends that are being sort of exacerbated by the crisis. And I think that everyone is now seeing that the future is digital, the future of banking and financial services, et cetera, is digital.
Right.
So people need to look back at their strategy and whatever they are doing or they're implementing, see if the trends that are being shown by the current crisis are being considered and worked on, because they're showing us where the future is. And I think this is extremely important for us to look back, look at our plans, look at our teams, look at our strategies, if we are, you know, prioritizing the move to digital. And I think that is something that is going to be extremely important now and also in the future. So in a nutshell, I think it will be putting the people first,
mm-hmm.
Which is extremely important, but also looking at the company, looking at the programs and strategies that we have, and make sure that the trends that we are seeing today are being worked on, and are being addressed in our strategies. So I think that that's what I want to discuss, but I have a lot of time to prepare until October. So probably I'll also have gained some more experience until then. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Dr. Dayan, for those amazing insights. We do hope that our listeners have been inspired, you know, particularly the ladies in our audience, to know that it can be done. And we are definitely looking forward to seeing you at the e-conference.
Thank you very much, Prince. I look forward to meeting virtually with all the people at the conference, and I look forward to very insightful discussions.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. It was an absolute pleasure. And also for our listeners, thank you so much for joining and listening on today's episode. And for more information on what Dr. Dayan and her colleagues will be sharing in the coming conference, you can register for the e-conference through the following website, www.africaleadingwomen.com. So we hope that everyone is staying safe. Do have a wonderful rest of the day from wherever you're listening from in the African continent and beyond. That's it from me. Follow us at Kenyan Wall Street on Twitter, and you can also follow me at Prince_Muraguri on Twitter. Thank you and goodbye.